Welcome to Life, Lemons and the Law, a podcast from Clark Wilmot. Now, this series of the podcast is all about social mobility, which is the link between the circumstances in which you grow up and the outcomes that you can expect in terms of income and career. This issue of social mobility profoundly affects young people across the UK, and that's why Clark Wilmot is partnered with the Social Mobility Foundation in order to offer formal support to young people from all social backgrounds to help break down barriers around social mobility. And we've been having conversations about the ways, which are sometimes obvious, but sometimes more hidden and insidious, that this issue of social mobility has impacted the education and careers of our guests. On this episode, we have Umar Farouk and Chelsea Mace, who are both from Clark Wilmot and who, as you'll hear, both have personal stories about the challenges of social mobility. Umar, can we start with you, please? Can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, my name's Umar Farouk. I've been working at Clark Wilmot for around 2 years now. I'm currently a trainee solicitor in the firm's Manchester office.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Chelsea, same question to you, please.
Yeah, thanks, Ed. I'm Chelsea Mace. I am a trainee solicitor in the London office working in non-contentious construction law. I've been with the firm for about just over 2 years now. The first portion was a bit of paralegaling until I got my SQE training contract.
Brilliant. Thanks very much. Okay, Chelsea, first question for you. When you were younger, was your career trajectory planned out? Was it clear to you at a young age that you were going to be a solicitor? And if not, what were the expectations of you and your family?
It was not, no. So I was the first person in my entire family to go to university. So I don't think they had really, you know, thought about it too much. There wasn't great pressures from them, which was great growing up as a support network. There was a stage where we thought I might get into art, but no, I think it was only when I came to A-level that I started thinking about a career in law and becoming a solicitor.
Same question to you then, Umar. Was your trajectory career-wise planned out? What were your family expectations?
No, mine was very, very similar to Chelsea. So none of my, you know, extended family or like mother or father had gone to university, but there was that expectation there. I think being from a South Asian household, I think just culturally we have that type of pressure and that expectation, especially being the eldest boy in the family as well. We have that expectation that you will succeed like academically. So I did have that kind of pressure, but there was kind of not an understanding from my parents about what education was, what the process was and stuff like that. So due to not no fault of their own, there was just like sometimes a lack of support.
That's really interesting. First, let's unpack that cultural expectation that you mentioned. Is that a positive or a negative for you?
So for me, it worked because of the type of individual I am. Like I don't mind a bit of pressure, like I react well to it, but I have seen with other people how it can affect them negatively. Sometimes people can struggle with that. I kind of didn't mind it and I kind of took it in my stride.
You mentioned through no fault of your own, your parents, at times there was a lack of support. What did that look like, that lack of support? What was missing?
So it was just the little things, like, for example, when I look back at it now, like I can't remember a time where like my parents had helped me with my homework. Looking back, it's quite crazy. But like, it was not their fault because my dad was literally working. My dad's worked 12-hour days for the last, he's still working 12-hour days for like for as long as I can remember. And my mum, obviously, she keeps the household together and keeps the household running. And there's five of us kids. So it's very difficult for anybody to make that focus. So the expectation was there, but it's the little things. Like, for example, I had dyslexia as well as a kid. But like my family wouldn't understand that, like it just didn't have that background. So it was difficult in that sense, I think.
Chelsea, does that resonate with you? I saw you nodding there. There's similarities between Umar's story and yours?
Yeah, I think when Umar was speaking about how their parents couldn't really help steer you in the direction that you wanted to go just because they just didn't know how to deal with it. You know, they had no idea what a legal career entailed. They didn't know much about university. At one point they thought they had to pay for the whole thing and they were like, we can't, I'm sorry, you can't go. I was like, there's a great thing called student finance here, so we were okay with that. Yeah, no, I think with that, they just had no idea. They, similar to Umar, did quite labour-intensive jobs as I grew up, so I think there wasn't much of like a focus on an academic career, so they couldn't really help as much in that sense. So it's kind of all on myself to really start my career.
So if your parents didn't have that academic knowledge at that time, where did you find the support? Did you find the support? Was it available in school?
Well, I grew up on the Isle of Wight, and no, I wouldn't say that I had great experience in school at my early education stages. School in poor measures by Ofsted, and it just didn't really work out. So I think it kind of just came from myself. I was like, look, I don't want this, kind of just to stay on this island and just hope that I get a job. I want to do a career. You know, I was started working out that A-level seems like the next logical step at school. Did that, really enjoyed law, and then thought, okay, I could make a career out of this. So it was all very much on myself. And I think that's probably one of my proudest achievements, is I just drove myself through my legal career and got to where I am just out of determination and the want to do well.
Let's unpack that a little bit. So you're at school in the Isle of Wight, you're studying law for A-level, you like the law. Talk us through that moment to where you are now, briefly. Give us a top-down view.
Yeah, so I did A-level law. I also did English literature and fine art. And I really enjoyed law and fine art. So there was a little bit of a moment where I thought, oh, which one shall I go for? Thought a bit strategically. I was like, realistically, it would be much easier for me to get a career in law than it will in art. So yeah, I went to university, did that. I still had to work full-time alongside university, unfortunately, because, you know, living in London by myself, student finance didn't cover it and my parents couldn't afford to give me any money. But worked hard enough to come out with a first-class degree. And then from then on, I'm where I am now as a trainee solicitor.
And were your cohort at university, were there others that were in full-time job roles?
Not that I knew of, no.
Umar, did you need support to find your way into the law? And where did it come from, if you did?
Like, in terms of the law itself, and like from an educational standpoint, I was luckily, my college teacher's very enthusiastic and she kind of believed in me quite a bit. But like transitioning from education to career was, it was very difficult. I think it's definitely something that I just learned on the way, just like kind of failing and going back to the drawing board, just researching as much as possible. Rather than having like a mentor or having someone there with the career stuff, which would have been really helpful, actually. It was very independent going to like open days at Magic Circle law firms, which was quite daunting, actually, because going from an area like Oldham with just working class individuals and then going to open days for big, big law firms, it was very overwhelming. Nothing came of it because they were just like major confidence issues from my end, kind of thing. Looking back at it, I wish I did have somebody like the Social Mobility Foundation or institutions like that to kind of guide me through the process.
Can you pinpoint what the biggest issue was? Is it that confidence factor that you've just raised?
Yeah, just thinking I'm not good enough to be like, I don't belong here. But looking back at it now, I should have thought like, this is normal, this is usual. Like, you've spent your whole life in Oldham, you don't know anything else, just stick at it. If someone gave me that advice, I would have like been much, much more confident at an earlier stage. That sense of like not belonging and not even trying because these people are so much better, that type of situation.
That's really interesting. Now, imposter syndrome, is what you've just described, has come up quite a lot in these conversations around social mobility. Is there anything that you could have had, I guess, provided by the system that would have helped you in that regard? Is there any way that it could have been better?
I think looking back at it, like during my college days, there should have been some initiatives to prepare students for this. The soft skills type of thing that nobody teaches you about, you just have to learn for yourself. And I think it is the responsibility now of people from ethnic minority backgrounds like myself to mentor younger students. The onus is on us now, I believe. I think that's the only way that help will come. There does need to be a push institutionally as well, but I think individuals can make a big difference.
And was there a point or a person that you can identify at which that difficulty went away?
I do remember like throughout the application process for Clark Wilmot, there was a switch in my mind and I thought, my difference is like, for a long, long time, I had like confidence issues about the way I speak. I used to get really conscious about it. But then I thought to myself, it's about the substance of what you're saying, regardless of how you're saying it. It was a switch in my mind and it gave me a lot of confidence to think, my difference is my strength. If someone told me that at a younger age, it would have helped me like progress a lot quicker.
Brilliant, thank you. Chelsea, did you encounter similar challenges? Was that imposter syndrome, that lack of confidence an issue? Or if not, were there other challenges that you faced alongside the fact that you were working full time?
I think my challenges came more towards the end of university when I started realizing, well, third year really, when I started hearing the words vacation scheme and training contract. And I was like, what are they? I think it would have helped so much. Because, you know, I don't know any lawyers around me. I don't have any family that have been in lawyers or business and stuff like that. And as I said, I wasn't that close with my peers. So there was no way I was going to know that vacation schemes and training contracts were a thing, really. So I think it would have been so much helpful if there was a sort of soft skills module that they teach us about the practicality of a legal career. You know, something as simple as teaching us how to write a letter accurately, how to time record, and then the opportunities afterwards, such as vacation schemes, where they can lead to training contracts, the SQE, the LPC, all of that stuff. I had no idea, simply because there was no one there to teach me. So I just went research mad and I just worked it all out there. By about this point, I was starting to get a bit nervous because I was seeing around me that people were getting training contract offers already. And, you know, I finished uni in 2021, didn't have a training contract, hadn't been to a single vacation scheme. I think I went to a couple of online open days. And I thought, okay, I need to strategize my legal career at this point because I don't want to be behind. I don't want to qualify late. So I looked around. It was obviously all the big training contract applications. And I just thought, I don't know how much of a chance I have here realistically with the competition being thousands of other students applying for the same role. So I saw Clark Wilmot. I saw that they hire paralegals and then do internal training contract applications. And I thought, that's what I want. That is so much better suited to me. And I think that really gave me the opportunity to see, work out if the area of law that I paralegaled in is where I want to go to qualify. And that is what I truly believe was the moment where I realized, right, this is what I need to do if I want to qualify as a solicitor, and I want to do it as soon as possible.
Have you come to the same conclusion that Umar has, that your difference is your strength?
I think so. I think it's definitely helped in my role at Clark Wilmot in the social kind of charitable setting. I think I've got a much better understanding. I'm much more well-equipped to deal with that side. And I think it also helps when, you know, I'm speaking with different people, different clients. I think I could offer them more of a realistic expectation, kind of have more of a friendly conversation with them, a bit more informal. And I think that helped. I think that is the reason why I've got such good relationships with my clients at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, you know, by extension, if there are barriers to getting into the legal sector, then the legal sector becomes a bubble and those people are less relatable to people externally.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that.
So you mentioned charity. Tell us about your involvement with the Social Mobility Foundation.
Yes. So as the sort of charity commissioner of the London office, I am directly involved with the Social Mobility Foundation. We arrange several events throughout, you know, the year when we have time with not just them as a foundation, but also smaller charities. So I know that the firm has different offices, have different charity relationships. But with the Social Mobility Foundation, recent activities that I've been involved with where we attended a school and provided mock interviews to younger children, because, you know, they're underfunded schools, hence the Social Mobility Foundation. So they didn't have someone like me to come in and be like, here's the realistics of a career in law. And, you know, it was such small details that I didn't know. For example, they were asking what commercial awareness is. And I remember at the time that being a huge thing. And the answer that everyone kind of gave was to understand your client's business so that you can relate to that and come at them from a business understanding. But as I've got a career in law now, and as I've become more advanced in it, I've realized that's not just what it is. It's all about understanding the firm, Clark Wilmot, as a business. It's understanding, you know, that we're a business at the end of the day and that fee earners are fee earning. So it's not just about the lawyer side, it's about the business side and having a business understanding and healthy financial hygiene. So I think that was really interesting to be able to give the kids that perspective, because it's something that I didn't know and I wish I did know. We also did careers booths, which was really great. Kids sort of interested in law came up to us and spoke to us, and they were able to ask questions such as, what area of law are you in? How did you know you wanted to be in that area of law? Questions that law lecturers can't really answer. The Bristol office did a sort of partnership with UWE University, where two students came in and I spoke with them about my experience in law. they were clearly really worried about the financial aspect of it, as was I originally. So it's quite reassuring to explain to them it is possible for people like us that aren't really well off to be able to get into a career in law, thanks to the likes of Clark Wilmot, who fund our SQE journeys and student finance and things like that. So yeah, they were felt a lot better about that. And that was something I would have liked to have known as well. So I think the Social Mobility Foundation and Clark Wilmot's partnership with them is going really well. And I think we're making a difference with younger kids.
Umar, you've been involved with Social Mobility Foundation events too. What did you see there? And what sort of outcomes would you like from your involvement with the Social Mobility Foundation?
Yeah, so I attended an event. It was kind of a panel discussion with a couple of qualified. There was, I think, there was a medic there. There was a trainee solicitor qualifying through the apprenticeship route. And there was myself doing the more traditional route. And then we did a bit of networking with the students as well. I think they were college students. And it was over the Easter holidays that they obviously volunteered their time to come in and do some networking just to get them more comfortable with it. And I was actually really surprised and really happy at how intelligent these young students were. They've come here in their spare time on their Easter holidays to kind of make a better future for themselves. So I was really happy to see that they're making that effort. But you could see that there was like visible signs of them being uncomfortable in the room, like when I was networking with them. So like, for example, like they would pull their sleeves up and one of the other students was kind of like rocking back and forth. So you could see that they were very, very bright individuals, but they just had that soft skills they like that could be improved slightly. But I said to the organizers of the session when I went there, I was like, these kids are going to be absolutely fine because they're in college, but they're thinking about their future. They're way ahead of the game. In terms of what I'd like to get from my volunteering is just giving students more confidence. I think like even now I advise my younger cousins as well, and they actually listened to my advice. And one of my cousins, she took a gap year last year based on advice I gave her. Instead of going through clearing, she kind of took a break and delayed her career to really think about it. So that makes me really happy that I'm able to kind of give the younger generation advice and they're able to benefit from that. And if I can give them that confidence and they can benefit from that, I think that would be great.
Umar, you're involved with some other charities too. Can you tell us about what you do?
Yeah, so since I graduated, I've been involved with a local charity called Ghazali Trust. So it's a charity in Oldham that I'm quite passionate about. It kind of helps the people in the Oldham area become better representations of themselves and better, you know, members of the community. So we do a lot of initiatives. For example, there's a big issue of like litter picking and stuff like that in our local area. So we do a lot of community initiatives and we help people improve through education and stuff like that. They're doing some really good work.
And what's your role with the trust, Emma? Is it kind of advisory? Are you involved in the organization of projects, etc.?
I started off as a student, but now I'm kind of helping out. Like, for example, I do summer sessions for martial arts for children because I've got a background in taekwondo. So I'll kind of get them off the streets in the summer times and I'll get them doing productive things. So I started off as a student, but now more of like a mentoring role. I feel like it means a bit more because I can really relate to the students.
Chelsea, what needs to change? Social mobility is a problem in the UK. What has to change?
I think compared to when I started uni in 2018, that we've made a bit of progress. I understand that the SQE is meant to have done that by becoming more accessible, in that we don't need just law students to do that now. People from non-law backgrounds can do that. However, having said that, I think the SQE has a lot further to go. We are still paying thousands of pounds for these exams. Obviously, I could not have afforded that, so thank God that I'm with a firm that funds that. I think the apprenticeship route that they've started is good, meaning that you can earn whilst you learn sort of thing. And we have a solicitor that recently joined who did the apprenticeship route. But I think there needs to be more awareness that there is people like Umar and myself at university who have no connections. We have no family members that have done this career before. We don't know anyone that's done this career before. How are we going to ever know what a vacation scheme or training contract is, or commercial awareness, the true meaning of it? I think there for sure needs to be more soft skill workshops at least, modules. Networking at a younger age should be more of a thing. I've built my confidence and my business relationships far quicker networking and doing business development sessions. And I think if that was open to younger people, that would help so much more.
Yeah, I'll just echo what Chelsea said, really, in terms of, I think the interview process and the recruitment process needs to be much more understanding. And for example, Chelsea was saying as well that she worked throughout studying. I also worked throughout studying. I can remember back in college, in preparation for an exam, I was working at a local TK Maxx, and then in my lunch break, I would do my studying in my lunch break, which is never considered. No one ever asks you about, like, okay, so you attained this A star or you attained this A, but how did you attain that? Another student can focus their 100% time on their examinations, but another student can only focus like 50, 60% of their time, but they're judged on the same basis. So I think the recruitment process needs to change. In interview processes, there needs to be more awareness about these sort of things. I think that's the best thing about Clark Wilmot. I think it's a major reason why I joined as well, because I was able to prove my worth throughout paralegaling for a year, rather than, you know, going for a training contract interview and just having that one day, because you can't gauge anything from that one interview process. It's a very quick process, but when someone can see how hard you work day in, day out for like a full year period, that's the real reason why I think I kind of joined Clark Wilmot. I think it's very beneficial to have that.
Any advice for your younger self? Where would you start with that?
I would for sure say the onus is unfortunately on myself to just research and understand the legal career, because of the lack of opportunities that were available or the understanding from the institutions that we should already know that, and we do already know it from our connections. So I would definitely go back to say, you need to research, you need to understand how to get into a legal career, how to navigate the legal market. You need to understand the business acumen that comes with that. And I would just remind myself that despite having to work full-time alongside your law degree and then full-time alongside doing the SQE right now, that it just goes to prove that I can do it, and just to trust my knowledge and my skills and to not worry about imposter syndrome, because, you know, if I can do it and I'm doing it, everyone can too. I'd also remind myself that I don't need to be this sort of corporate soldier, this formal person all the time, to create these professional relationships, that people want to speak with someone more human, someone more personable, and that's what retains and builds relationships with clients. I think there's sort of an understanding that this whole law career is a bit untouchable and that you need to be formal and completely professional at all times. But I would for sure remind myself that my personality is one of my USPs and that I need to let that show in order to do well.
Yeah, I think confidence comes with preparation and there's no substitute for that. Like, although you'll have these initiatives about obviously helping people from working class backgrounds, you have to be prepared. You have to be willing to put the work in yourself. As I said before as well, like, your strength is in your differences. The workplace is changing now. There's people from more diverse backgrounds. Like, our clients now will be from diverse backgrounds. We can relate to that. I think the best advice I would give to students is reach out to people who are just qualified or just in university in that, on that lower level. I think what mistake I made is I tried to sometimes reach out to partner level or like someone really senior, which they can help, but sometimes they're really busy and like they've qualified a long time ago. But people who have qualified recently, it's very helpful to reach out to them type of people, I think.
Umar, Chelsea, thank you very much indeed. That's all the questions I've got. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ed.
Thank you very much indeed to Umar and to Chelsea, and thank you to you for listening. If you'd like to find out more about the Social Mobility Foundation and Clark Wilmot's work in this area, you'll find all the links you need in the show notes. Please like and subscribe to the podcast. Thanks very much indeed for listening, and see you next time.